fight. Don't rely on
this. Ours is Superior is proudly hosted by Red Nation Online. We can be found on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and everywhere else you find your favorite podcasts. Hello, and welcome to episode 45 of Ours is the Fury. My name is Ryan.
Tim.
I'm Kendra.
Yes, Kendra's here today.
Because John's not.
Yes. John's in Nova Scotia, so we begged and pleaded, and Kendra was kind enough to come on.
There might have been some money involved.
Might have been some money.
I'm being paid in McDonald's French fries. Let's be honest.
That is true, yes. So big week.
Huge week.
Big week. Three games. Something we didn't expect. Fury win 4-2 over Indy 11. Four goals in one game.
I didn't think I'd see the day where they scored four goals again.
If you added up the whole spring season, how many goals was there? Five?
Five.
Mm-hmm. And we scored four against Indy on Sunday.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Huge win.
Yeah.
And before we get to the game, huge kudos to all the players, the ball boys, all the supporters standing there, because it was hot, and it was almost uncomfortable. It was
almost uncomfortable.
It was borderline uncomfortable.
Oh,
how hot it was!
It must have been 40 degrees in the stands.
So, well, with the humidity, I read that it was 40 degrees.
Yeah,
and so, it was hard.
So on the pitch, because we heard during the World Cup how hot the plastic pitch gets and all that, so I'm sure all their feet were getting burnt. And
I couldn't imagine playing on that.
Just terrible. So I guess we'll get right into it and go into the starting 11 for the Indy 11. So who did we have, Tim, for the Indy 11 starting?
So Nick, as always, in keeper. Highland, Miller, Norales, Franco in defense. Pineda, Wolchek, Mares, Smart, Richards in the mid, and Rugg. Play a striker.
Yeah, and I found them very speedy up front. I was really worried.
Very quick. I mean, Don Smart, who we talked about last week, very, very fast guy. He started, which is kind of unusual for him. He's usually a super sub, but he's very, very quick. And he could tell on his goal.
Yeah, he was in on both goals.
Yeah.
So, and for the Fury, we had Pizer and Net, and Trafford, Felvey, Alves, and Richter in the back. And the mid was started with Ubi Perapovic, Richie Ryan, who had a big game. De Guzman played the first half. Paulo Jr., Heinemann, and Wiedemann out front.
Yeah, so the first game we've seen this year for Ryan and De Guzman starting together. It's been a while. It's probably what they thought of when Marcus Sano signed De Guzman in the offseason, have those two guys partnered in it. It finally came together. It probably wasn't that great because De Guzman only played a half. And
the conditions.
Yeah.
But De Guzman coming back.
Yeah.
From the Gold Cup.
It's good moving forward. It's good to see them, both guys back on the field together.
Yeah. And we got to see some subs. For the first time, we saw Ali Hassan come in 70th minute. Got a couple touches, made some space.
Yeah, he looked good for what he did.
Yeah. It's his first 20 minutes, so yeah, he seemed fine, comfortable. Yeah.
I think he'll find his rhythm. Hopefully we'll see him a couple more times this week. We'll see what he's made of. It's been a while since he's been in the NASL. The NASL's changed a little bit, so we'll see. So we'll get into the scoring. First goal, the guy does it all, Rafael Alves. Any of you guys see the describe the goal for us?
Well, Ubi, free kick. A sort of questionable call on Heinemann. There's a few of those that game. But, yeah, Ubi put it up. And if there's a 6'2"-ish guy in your box, you might want to be within 3 feet of him when he gets his head on the ball. There is no one around him. And he just kind of put it on the line past Nick. Had no chance at it.
It's just unreal. And he had a kind of a strange celebration where he was running towards the middle, then he snapped. And then he just stopped and he rolled up his sleeve. And he had a tattoo of a dude's face.
It's his son.
It's his son?
His son, yeah.
Mm. Okay. Is his family living here with him?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he kissed his arm and then he lied down on it. Like, he was sleeping with his arm.
Aw.
Yeah.
Like, like with his son.
Okay.
Well, it's not Baltimore Indoor League. You can't just like run up into the stands. Yeah.
That's true.
They're a little more professional here.
Yeah, it was a different celebration. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a celebration like that before. But beautiful goal, and he's doing it all. He's the machine.
He's so tall. Like, I mean, Mark DeSantis was commenting after the game how they used the height of the Fury against Indy 11, but like Rafael Alves was like quite a bit taller than everyone else around him. Like,
he had
a
good 6 inches on most of the team. Yeah,
he's a giant.
Yeah, I mean, I think Indy's lineup, basically, except for Neek, all the way down, is a pretty short lineup.
And he didn't move a lot on any of the goals.
He did not have a good game.
Yeah, you know, he hasn't really been good since that Champions League mm-hmm. final. I don't know.
It broke him.
If it broke
Montreal
him.
Montreal broke him.
Oh. As it breaks many players. But yeah, it's... I don't know, it's just since he's been back. And even Indy fans have been like, yeah, we didn't want him back. Mm-hmm. And they've been saying things like that. Ooh. So yes. That kind of has to hurt, has to sting a little bit, but... Yeah. So 20 minutes later, I think the man of the match for Indy, Don Smart, he's carrying that team. I thought Dane Richards would help him out a little bit. Dane Richards did do a lot of movement and spread out our defense and stuff, but Don Smart was the man of the match, and he's coming right down the middle, takes a shot. I don't know how many feet outside the box.
Oh, yes, he would have been a good 30 yards out.
30 yards from the goal.
He was far.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And just a laser, like, right in.
Yeah, it was insane. Probably you don't want to hear this from me, but it's probably the goal of the game.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Wow. Because, you know, Richie Ryan, those free kicks. So they scored in the 33rd minute, and then 2 minutes later. Well, of course, who went down? It was Heinemann again?
Yep.
Yeah. So Tommy gets fouled just outside, and they put the wall up and everything, and Richie Ryan, was the first one in the right or the left? They're both left-footed kicks, but...
First one was a right. It was kind of Tommy... kind of went at it, and then Richie came behind,
right.
So it kind of keeper couldn't cheat, and the wall didn't jump, and he just put it right above the wall.
Yeah.
In the corner, no chance.
It was perfect. I think some of the teammates were tweeting that it should be on Footy Vines and stuff like that. It was pretty funny to read after the game. And that was Richie Ryan's first goal. And then in the second half, we had the change where they took De Guzman out, and Eustachio came in. Good to see him getting a good 45 minutes. And they're saying De Guzman, what's the story, Kendra, with De Guzman?
They just took him out as a precaution, I think probably just to rest him up a little bit, and seeing as it was so hot. I don't know anything beyond that. I just heard we took him out as a precaution, so I'm not sure if he got knocked a little bit in the first half or what happened, but...
I got a feeling he has like a nagging injury, like something's...
Yeah, I mean, he did play those three games kind of close together in the travel, and
but
it was hot.
But he didn't play the first game in the Gold Cup
because he didn't
pass the physical. Mm.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
So there's maybe something bothering him.
I guess we'll know by Wednesday.
Yeah, or they'll reveal by the end of the season, you know, what was going on. So, the second half, who was it? I think it was Ubi Perapovic placed that perfect ball to Heinemann. Right? In the Heinemann's goal?
No, that was Alves. Mr.
That was
Duerman.
Alves?
Yes,
wow.
It was insane. It was an insane pass.
Man, that guy should be asking for more money.
No, don't say that.
Oh, okay.
We want to keep him.
But, maybe you can describe it better. It's Heinemann had the ball. He had two men on him.
Yeah, it bounced past the defenders, and somehow they didn't beat Tommy Heinemann to the ball in a foot race, which is kind of odd. And then it looked like, from the replay I saw, it kind of looked like he scuffed it, like he didn't, it didn't go where he wanted to, and he kind of misshot it, and I think that's why the keeper stood still.
He did comment that he did not get the touch he wanted, and
he
was like, but it went in, so I don't really care. So
it's an improvement from what we saw, especially that game in New York where he kicked it right at the keeper, mm-hmm. And, like, I find his touch is getting a lot better. And he's, you know, he's getting a goal a game, like, recently, so you can't...
Three in a row now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So... And I think Stu was the one who pointed out that in league play, only Heinemann scored out of the forwards. So that's an interesting interesting stat. Now our other goals are coming from like Trafford, Alves, the midfield, Richie Ryan, of course, got the two. Then we had the other free kick in the 65th, Richie Ryan's other kick.
Yeah, that was better of the two.
Yeah.
But yeah, right top corner.
Beautiful goal.
Just beat the keeper. Didn't have to care for the wall, just going to beat the keeper. Keeper probably was a little too behind the wall. Probably didn't trust the wall as much as he probably should have. But
yeah, it's funny, the crowd, what was it? They're like saying, let's get greedy or something?
Oh yeah, let's get greedy because we want more goals or whatever.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny, but I mean, it's not really greedy because goal difference matters.
Well, that's one thing Dos Santos, after the match, he was saying, oh, I don't care about goals. I care about total points. But actually, I kind of do care about goals because we'd be fourth right now if the goal differential was better over Minnesota.
Goal differential is basically a point.
Yeah, it matters. It's the tiebreaker in NASL.
And we
so.
Don't really have a good one.
And the spring season was so close with everyone that, like, it really mattered in the spring season because, what, do they have, like, four teams, kind of four or five teams just outside, like, second, third, or sorry, five teams just outside of playoff position.
Yeah.
And the only reason that it was so tight was because of goal differential. So, like, in the spring season, it does matter. I don't know about the fall as much, but spring for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty tight. And so... If you, I say be greedy. If you're killing a team and you're beating them 4-1 and you can beat them 6-1, you should do it. It could be the difference. Could be the tiebreaker for the last spot. In the...
Yeah, that's why it was kind of disappointing when Indy scored. Because it's instead of being only two behind Minnesota for the fourth spot, now we're three. And it's, that's a lot of goals for us.
Yeah, yeah, that's half of spring season. Yeah, so... Yeah, in the 90th minute, there was a penalty.
Yep.
And Pizer made an amazing save.
Yes.
And there was a corner right after. And, of course, it was Don Smart again. He took the corner. And they scored off the corner. It was McKinney, right, that scored?
Yeah.
Was it a header? Or was
it was a header. I don't know who got the head on first head on it, but headed to McKinney. McKinney just put it out.
But in Indy, I'd watched them, and like only the guy that scored like celebrated, and everyone else was like, that team, they look kind of deflated. Like I know they're losing like 4-1 and 40 degree heat and all that, but I know something's different. I know they're on a run with they changed their coach 3 weeks ago, but I don't know. I don't think all is well, and they only traveled with three extra players, right? Three or four on the bench.
Yeah, I think they only had four on the bench.
Yeah, which surprising to only travel with four.
I think they had a lot of injury problems.
Maybe they don't have passports.
Maybe. They're all felons.
They're all felons. They're all felons. Felons. Yeah, so good game overall.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah, I noticed that when we scored our first goal, I know we sat back again, which is what we always tend to do. And then they scored, and then when we scored, we didn't do that this time. Kept pushing forward. That's a huge improvement. Like, that's why we got the fourth goal. That's probably why we could have got at least five or six goals, perhaps.
Yeah, and I think there was only one moment in the game I recall where they didn't fight for the ball, and the crowd just freaked out. Everyone was just like, "What are you doing?" Like, and like, it's like, and I felt kind of bad for them because it's so hot and everything. But yeah, it's a nice change to see them like fight for every single ball. And so much so, when they don't once, you notice it. So.
Yeah, it's nice to see them all back, relatively healthy. I don't even know who's injured. De Guzman? Oliver's
question. Oh, Patterson.
Patterson just had surgery this morning.
Today.
On his ACL. Yeah, it was kind of a fluke accident. And, unfortunately, he only had 5% of his ACL left. And so they had to reattach almost all of it. So... good luck to him on recovery. It's going to be a long recovery for him, unfortunately. But
he's a strong player, strong guy.
Yeah, he'll be back.
Is there any other takeaways from the game that we can...
No, 8 matches undefeated.
There was that red card.
Oh, yeah, it's the red card, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, You know, I was kind of hoping it was Smart that would get the second yellow because he got the first yellow for standing in front of the ball on the free kick. Who was it? Richie Ryan just kicked it at him? That was hilarious. I actually watched the replay of that, just that part, because I loved it so much.
Yeah, I remember watching the game. Miller, who got the first yellow card, he was kind of battling with Tommy Heinemann. And when he got his first yellow card, I'm like, wow, that's really good, because that's going to really soften him up, because he was really being aggressive and he was tackling hard. And like, as soon as he got that first yellow card, it's going to be good, because now he has to kind of settle down and he can't defend his way he wants to. And then he got that second yellow for just being stupid.
But that didn't come till like the 90th minute or the 89th minute. 89, so it didn't really.
Was it just for arguing? Was it just dissent or?
No.
It was a pretty bad foul on Trafford.
Was it Trafford?
Yeah.
Trafford
just like slid right into him.
Yeah, Trafford kind of put the ball past him, and he kind of just kept going and knocked him down. A little frustration.
Yeah, overall a good game, and we're pretty excited. Just hopefully you get to listen to this before the game on Wednesday against Atlanta. So
Atlanta, who we now have scored more goals than, so we're not bottom of the league in goal scoring.
Yes. Yeah, and that win propels us up into second place with a game in hand.
Point behind, game in hand.
For the fall season, we're in second place. So
we get on Wednesday with a win, we could be atop the league for the first time ever. Alone atop the league.
Unreal.
Wow.
Well, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We're going to do some Fury news. We have some listeners' questions. A whole bunch of good stuff. Stick around. We'll be right back.
This is Richie Ryan, and you're listening to Ours is the Fury.
Welcome back. Lots of Fury news to talk about. We went to Academy game.
Yep.
Some interesting stuff there. So let's get right into it. So last night, we noticed that Ticos Legion, which is a Costa Rican... they're kind of like the Canucks abroad. They follow Costa Rican players all over the world. They report on what's going on. They do interviews. There's some news there. Can you tell us what the news was?
They are reporting that Brandon Pulcinelli, defense midfielder forward for the Fury, has signed a 2-year extension.
So we're hearing this out of Costa Rica, and Kendra helped translate the Spanish for us, and we double checked it too.
But Spanish is not that horrible.
We haven't heard any confirmation from the club yet, and this is, I guess this news is about 2 days old now.
I just saw it last night.
Last night, okay. So we're gonna follow up with the club, but we. Pretty sure that we're going to see Brandon here for another 2 years.
He also tweeted in Spanish today that he was happy in Canada and that he was happy to continue playing in Canada. And basically it was just kind of like an I love Canada tweet, and it didn't say anything about an official signing of anything, but he was mentioning that he was happy here.
And wanting to play for the Canadian national team.
I think he just said happy to be in Canada.
Maybe wrong. Did Brandon not retweet or favorite that tweet?
He did, yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Twitter investigators. We're just on a report on Twitter for that.
Just have to read it.
Yeah, so that's interesting. We'll see if something official comes out this week. Kendra, noticed you're in the presser with DeSantos after the game.
Mm-hmm.
And Carlos asked a question about Heinemann being pressured by the new signings and all the forwards being pressured by the new signings. What did DeSantos have to say there?
He said, yes, and more pressure is coming, in his DeSantos-y way. And that's all he said, because, of course, he never reveals any sort of details about contracts or signings, but there's been some speculation that we're signing the player who is currently practicing with them. He's German Turkish background.
Yeah.
His name escapes me at the moment, but
it doesn't escape me, but I'm not going to try to pronounce it. Yeah, so there's this guy, he's playing in Bundesliga 3rd division and 4th division. And he's been training with the team for a couple weeks now. And he's still here?
Apparently.
Okay.
I don't go to all the
So one more possible forward signing. He would take up an international spot.
Yeah, he would take up Nicky's international spot.
So they'd do the thing where they move Nicky around. Some other news, speaking of Canadian players, our midfielder, Misek. He's playing in Polish 2 Liga. He's currently injured, but his team was playing in the Polish Cup, and he appeared on the...
What team is that?
Oh, you don't make me say it, eh? Rakow Czechoslovak.
That's good.
Yeah, that's not it at all.
I
said
my
own. Yeah. And so what we expected would happen, he'd go over to Poland, get some playing time, some well-deserved minutes. He was actually player of the game for one of the Academy games, and he just dominated. It was Ottawa Fury Academy against Lakeshore. Yeah. And Misek was just everywhere. He actually, you were saying he was player of the week that
week?
Yeah,
player of the week that week.
For PLSQ. And speaking of the Academy... When it went to the game on Algonquin, Fury lost 3-1 because it's men against boys.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just what are some takeaways from that?
It was the same. Just technically, skillfully, they're better. But,
like, a lot.
You can't compete against guys who are 30 pounds heavier and a couple inches heavier than you.
At least 30 yeah. pounds heavier. There's some big guys on that Gatineau team. Like, really big.
I'm well over 200 pounds, and there is a forward on Gatineau that is much heavier than I am and the same height as I am. So they're big boys, that FC Gatineau team. And whenever there was a header, I was like, keep it on the ground. Keep it on the ground. Because whenever there was a header, it's just like, oh, you're going to hurt that poor child. Like, But there was some really good... One guy that was really good was Imad Hosh, I think how you say his name. And 3 minutes into his Fury Academy career, scores a goal. And he was a good size. I think he's a little older. He must be... I think he's like 21 or something. But he came to us from FC Montreal, and he played a few times with FC Montreal in the USL this year. He's actually an Ottawa guy. He played in the Fury program before, and he played with Ottawa Royals and over AC Hall, or AS Hall, sorry. And, yeah, he's been playing in Ottawa since he was 10 years old, so.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah, nice goal.
Yeah, and he you could tell he had quality. Mm. Like, he was a player with a lot of quality. And another player that impressed me was that number 6, Dante Kobisa. His footwork was amazing, and the way he turned on the ball. He switched it so many times. I don't think he lost the ball once, like got the ball off him.
Yeah, he's very strong on the ball. Very, really good passer.
And he's under 19 years old, and it's definitely a player to watch out for. I haven't noticed him before. I don't know if he's one of the new players they added.
No, I think he's been there for the start.
And the keeper had another good game.
Yeah.
One amazing save.
Yeah. A couple of amazing saves. But one, just kind of caught it, put it off the post.
Yeah.
And out.
Yeah, just fingertips on it. He's always good positioning. He's not the biggest player, but he's all over the place.
About 3 goals and none of them were his fault.
Yeah.
There was that second goal where the guy just put it right in the corner. Just drill it right in the corner.
Yeah, one was like a 2-on-1 and stuff.
Yeah, the third goal was just they had 4 guys and we had 2 and everyone's running back from the corner. And Jeff Adai, I shouldn't mention, number 28. He's a bit older. I think he's about 21, 22.
Is he one of the new players they added?
Yeah, I think so. He's played the last few weeks. But yeah, really strong on the ball. I think he went to South Carolina. Soccer there.
Okay, and Schroeder was injured. I seen him with not a knee brace, but like his knee was wrapped up. Mm. He was walking around.
Yeah, hopefully that's nothing too serious.
Yeah, I see a bright future for him, as always. We always talk about him. But their next game is August 1st over in Kirkland, Quebec. So if you're, it's not that far from here, actually. So it's south of Montreal.
Road trip.
Yeah, August 1st, 3 p.m. They're playing at the Smiley Soccer Park in Kirkland.
Good name.
Yeah.
So happy over there in Kirkland.
Oh, like God, they need something. And We're trying to get as many people out to this game because the season's coming to an end very quickly for the Academy. And next home game is August 22nd against AS Blainville. And that one's at Algonquin.
Yeah, they're all Algonquin from now on.
From now on?
That's their home pitch for this year.
Yeah.
Until they figure out, I think, a more permanent solution would
be
nice.
Their new turfed home pitch.
Yeah, it's really nice, Algonquin, now, because they resurfaced it for the Women's World Cup because it was a practice facility. And really nice pitch there now. Before, it was a pretty nasty carpet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Academy team, they're having a rough year, but like we said, it's men against boys. They got 2 wins and 7 losses right now, with a few games left to go on the PLSQ, so.
Yeah, I understand that it's for their development, but, you know, playing a year of losing every game's gotta affect you in some way. But, you know, they seem to be having fun. They're playing well. They're never really out of a game. They just, when it comes down to physicality, they're just...
I think the purpose of the league and the purpose of the Academy is a little bit different. Like, the purpose of PLSQ is for people to play because that's, like, their league. But the Academy is trying to develop, so it would be kind of nice to see them get into a league that has the same kind of purpose as they do so that they can actually achieve the development that they're going for. They are developing in the PLSQ, but it would be nice to, you know, see them with players that are of the same
age.
Level and age. And
in a perfect world, they'd have a reserve team as well, so they could kind of intermix those players and
bring players like back from injury, kind of like they did that a little bit. They played that one game with 5 players. Yeah, it'd be nice to see. Maybe in a few years, the PLSQ will be a little higher quality, and then maybe we can have the 3 or 4 teams, like a proper reserve team, an academy team, and then a youth team. That'd be ideal, but I don't know if we'll get there. But let's get into some listener questions.
That's your favorite thing.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing. Kendra... From our favorite listener, you want to...
Our favorite listener. First of all, from Jeff. Jeff Salisbury in Saskatchewan asks, what is the major difference between the spring season and the fall season as to why Ottawa Fury is playing so well?
First off, goals. They score more of them. That they're healthy now.
I think the confidence is way higher.
Yeah, confidence is huge.
Mm-hmm. I think even just having the experience of 1 year in the league, it's like they know more what to expect. Like before, it would be like, oh, we're playing this team from Carolina. And you can watch as many videos as you want, but until you actually like face the team, you're not really sure what's going on. So I think even just having the experience of playing the teams before helps a little bit as well.
And Matt Hawkins asks, can Fury compete with more Canadians starting?
Can they compete? Yeah. Can they do as well? No.
Yeah, I think it depends on the Canadians. Like if Hutchinson comes back, you know, and plays, right? You know what I mean? Like,
please,
but you're pulling up these 18-year-old kids without professional experience and stuff. Yeah, I totally understand why you'd go with a Richie Ryan or an Alves, obviously, right? Over a kid like that. But we also need a system to build these kids up. So hopefully there'll be an alternative place for them to play, build them up to get them into the NASL, to get them into the MLS. And I think that's where the problem is.
Yeah, I think the big reason the Fury is here is to create more Canadian talent so that they can play for the Fury. Yeah, it's coming.
Yeah. I think we saw a little bit with the W League is that the Fury, they developed so many good Canadian footballers. But they had no one to play against. They just dominate, like, the other teams. And that might be a problem, like for our academy team. Like, we're too good for the other academies. But so we put them in a Division III league, and they get beat up. So if you want to ask us any questions, we have a new Twitter handle. We've been practicing. It is?
OIT Fury. At OIT Fury.
I think that's it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That looks correct.
Yeah.
Sounds correct. Yep.
Ours is the OIT Fury. So ask us any questions, serious or not so serious, whatever. We'll we'll do our best to answer them. And we also had a question for our listeners this week. We asked,
if you could add one player this summer, for which position would it be and why? First answer, Mark Lapointe says, an attacking midfielder, a true number 10, quick, dynamic, creative. I think we and most teams on earth could really use one. This must be more than one tweet. Although now with Nicky Patterson out, a true number 8 box-to-box is probably urgent. Gutted for him, and that will affect our team.
So basically, Kendra, he's saying he wants to replace Ubi in the first
place. No! Mark, break my heart.
Yeah, Ubi's box-to-box. Yeah? Yeah, he doesn't have the pace.
I don't think we have a box-to-box.
Who's a box-to-box midfielder in the league right now?
There's not a lot.
No, it's very something you don't see in Division 2 too much.
No. Like, De Guzman's probably our best one, but he's probably more defensive than offensive.
But for Canada, he was playing very offensive. He was up attacking quite a bit, especially that last game against Costa Rica. I was really surprised.
Yeah, but prototypically those box-to-box guys are those guys who defend and attack, and they do that all game.
Elvis is a box-to-box defender.
Actually, Ryan Richter is kind of too. He's up a lot.
He's up the flanks a lot, yeah. So,
yeah, midfielder would be good. Ryan, De Guzman, Ubi, very solid midfielder, but kind of thin injury problems. So to get another guy in there that you can rely heavily upon would be probably a good pickup.
Yeah, Carson says midfield. So a lot of people saying midfield. The athleticism and creativity is needed there. I know these guys don't like Ubi, Richie Ryan.
But what about Mauro? Like, he is young and still kind of like figuring things out, I feel like. But I think that he's made some improvements, no?
Yeah, he got that quick yellow this last game.
That's true.
And I was like, oh no. You know, because remember he had that really good game and then he got the red. And he's a little aggressive on the tackles and his timing's not the best. But yeah, we haven't really seen him enough and I don't think people really know him. But he could develop into the kind of midfielder we're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, going back to Ubi, Richie Ryan, and De Guzman, awesome at what they do. But no one's gonna like
be in awe.
Yeah, no one's accusing them of being super athletic and pacey. But that they do what they do well. But maybe if you could add someone with, like a Don Smart is perfect, an example of that.
Yeah, Don, if you're listening, you know Ottawa's a really nice town. I'm really sorry about the names I called you. Should come play here. Yeah, so...
Next, Matt Hawkins says, a striker may be fixed. Never had a winger that hits the cross as well or adds goals.
Yeah, we're kind of hoping Paulo Jr. would be that winger, especially at the start of the season. And he has good pace. His crosses aren't bad. His goal scoring is not there.
No, at all.
He has not scored this year, has he?
No.
No.
No forwards behind him.
Yeah, I've kind of always had a problem with that position. I think Oliver getting injured was very, very hurtful. He's, you know, the leading scorer last year, so he can't score. Just he was injured and everything else and kind of went along. But, yeah, I mean, Davies is back. He's probably the best crosser on the team, but does he do everything else really well? Not really, to be able to start every game.
Yeah.
So it would be nice to find that guy who can score and cross and do everything. But
and last but not least, Tajik says, I would add another striker to get the goals in. Defense and goalkeeping seem strong enough. Maybe a midfielder.
Wow. It's all midfield.
Striker and midfielder. I don't know. I'm a fan of the style that our midfield plays. I really like it. I enjoy watching it, and I think that it's pretty solid, and I'm a fan of the players that we have in midfield right now. I mean, perhaps, yes, we need another midfielder for more depth, but I'm very happy with what's going on. Especially, I thought Ubi and Ryan and De Guzman all together was fantastic for the time that they had in that game.
Yeah, I think we can all agree that goalkeeping we're okay at.
I still want
defense too, pretty decent. But at striker, I don't know if we need a striker. It's not like Heinemann. I drank the Heinemann Kool-Aid, and I think he's gonna score every game
goals.
Now. But him and Ali Hassan, we have not seen, and Wiedemann, when they're kind of competing against one another, competing with blank time, I think they could do well. I think maybe adding that extra guy, where you don't know if he's gonna be an all-time starter, would kind of mess that up.
So you're saying don't sign the German?
You know what? I can't say one way or like Mark DeSanto shouldn't sign this player because, of course, Mark DeSanto sees his play, and I completely trust Mark DeSanto. And if he says he's the guy, then he's the guy. But if he's not the guy, I don't think signing him would be.
You don't want to sign him just for the sake of signing him. One thing I found kind of strange is Fury seemed to be spending money now. Like, and they weren't spending any money at the start of the season, it felt like. Well, besides De Guzman being obviously probably one of our largest contract, but it seemed like the wallet's kind of opened a little bit.
What do you mean by spending money? Because we got a whole bunch of defenders in the off season.
Yeah, but we lost a lot of players too,
that's
right?
True.
And everyone was on those 1 year contracts except for Patterson, and so we're seeing like the wallet open a little bit. I was kind of surprised to see some signings, you know. And
tennis is getting better. There, I guess it's the second year, so all the startup costs are gone.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's kind of settled in a bit.
Yeah, maybe it's something to get used to. I guess. Hopefully, I'd like to see like more of these signings and more of these players. So.
I mean, with the Red Blacks are on a salary cap, so they can't spend more money on salary. So there could be that extra money. I'm not saying there is that extra money, but
it can't be a lot, because I was reading a BBC article today about CFL, and one of the top teams, they made a profit of $2.8 million. So
that's really good, though.
That's
like a sports team. Any sports team making money is awesome.
Yeah,
you don't go into sports thinking you're gonna make money.
But that's due to the cap and the large TV contract and tons of sponsorship. So, yeah. Well, we're gonna take another break, and we'll come back, and we'll do some NESL news, some of the scores, and we're gonna preview the upcoming game against Atlanta
and Carolina.
Might as well do the Carolina one too.
Yeah, sure.
Stick around.
Ours is the Fury, your number one source for all things Ottawa Fury FC.
Okay, welcome back, and it's time to look at what's happening around the league, other scores, things happening in other games, some news. Let's start backwards. We'll start newest games to oldest.
Sure.
So Saturday, FC Edmonton. You watch any of this game?
Nope.
Why? He's honest.
Hey, apparently it was supposed to be on TSN Go. I logged in, everything, couldn't find a link. FC Edmonton like puts out links to like live stream and like pirate sites.
Oh really?
Yeah, the team did.
Oh good.
And so it worked until like the 70th minute, and then it stopped working. But yeah, FC Edmonton, they won 1-0 over Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Big win for them.
Yeah, and they didn't even score. Tampa Bay scored on themselves. Yeah, own goal. 5,400 people, 5,500 really, at Lang Stadium down in Tampa to watch them score themselves. So, poor Stefan Anton Jevic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Own goals suck.
Well, they suck when it's your team, but they're great when it's the other team.
No, they still are terrible. I hate own goals.
And the shocker of the week, or maybe even the year, Jacksonville beats the Cosmos 1-0. In Jacksonville, in front of 81,067 people.
Any 1,000?
Oh, no, 8,167.
Sorry. Oh, darn. I was like, well, NASL Rising.
I'm not good at math.
Yeah.
Yeah. First loss of the year. It's Jacksonville.
It's nice seeing Tampa Bay at the top of the table.
Is it?
Well, okay, let me rephrase that. Let me rephrase that. It's nice seeing someone other than the New York Cosmos at the top of the table.
It's true.
I can get behind
that. I hate the Cosmos. I think they're our real rivals.
Oh, yeah, for sure. If there's a, there's a team that I dislike and a lot of the fans dislike, it's New York Cosmos. I'm starting to dislike Minnesota, too. Mm. Ever since it's MLS.
The fans are going to be around all along, though.
Yeah, we have some news about that. And the third game.
Fort Lauderdale and Atlanta Silverbacks tied at 2 in, again, in Florida. 3,283 fans. And, yeah, that happened. 2-2.
So Atlanta's coming in Wednesday. Scoring 2 goals for Fort Lauderdale. That's... this team's changed a lot. I think I remarked that they made 6 signings in the offseason, like in between the spring and fall. So, and a lot of the players, they've played for this coach before in Colorado Rapids. So it'll be interesting to see. Like, they didn't score very much at all in the spring season, but they're starting to come together a little bit.
Yeah, they started off the season great. I think they went first 3 or 4 games undefeated, and then they just kind of, you know, sucked.
Oh, poor Atlanta.
I mean, they're. I mean, the coaches said they have the lowest cap, they have the lowest salary in the league.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons. I mean,
they're owned by the league.
Yeah.
The future is uncertain. So, something that's interesting is when they play us on Wednesday, then they're flying to Edmonton right after.
Are they going straight out there?
Yeah, they're going straight out there and playing Saturday in Edmonton. So, I don't know, like maybe. Maybe it'll work out good for us. It's important we get those 3 points. I think Mark said that. He said if we get those 3 points, we're in the top 3.
We're the top of the table.
We're top of the table, but like overall table.
Oh, in the combined table.
Yeah, in the top 3. So, and the last game on Saturday was Carolina and San Antonio down in Carolina. And wow. So this is someone we'll be talking about in our game preview a lot, is Nacho Novo. He's just maybe he'll be player of the week for sure if he's not already. I don't know if it's been announced yet.
Yeah, he assisted on his own goal.
He assisted on his own goal.
No one's ever done that ever.
Wow.
I think that's a stat mistake, but
he did. Did he like get his own rebound or something? Is that how that works? Or
he got 2 goals and 2 goals and 3 assists or something like that. He got 2 goals and 3 assists and a 3-2 win, so...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. But San Antonio continues to slide. And Carolina's, you know, they're hot and cold, but they're a team I do not want to see on Sunday. So, but right now we're rolling, so who knows. I said that about Indy. I was all scared about Indy's offense, and we destroyed them. And we go back a little bit.
Back to the future.
Back to the future. This was a... The game in San Antonio between FC Edmonton and San Antonio, 2-2 draw. San Antonio's revenge game, it was supposed to be, for the horrible war that happened in Fort McMurray the week before.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so San Antonio was down to 9 men the week before.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the return leg. So FC Edmonton ended up tying it in the 71st minute. So, but Omar Cummings was huge for San Antonio, so...
Yeah, I see the attendance at 4,912. That's really disappointing for a team that has MLS aspirations.
But isn't San Antonio like Dallas? Like the crowds get lower in the summer heat?
Yeah, I'm sure it sucks down there, but...
Well, we know it's 40
degrees. But I mean, you should be used to it. They live in Texas.
Yeah.
We're not used to it because it was minus 40 6 months ago.
Yeah, 80 degree difference. From the start of the season, it was... what was it, minus 10 at the start? So a 50 degree difference from the start of the season.
That's intense.
Celsius. Yeah, that's... Don't tell the players that when we're trying to sign them.
I mean, it's wonderful.
And the last game, Minnesota last week just destroyed Jacksonville 4-0.
I mean, yeah, it crushed them, but it did something to Jacksonville.
Yeah, they came back.
Jacksonville woke up that game.
Yeah, they came back and beat Cosmos. But seeing good crowds, another sellout crowd in Minnesota, 9,400. They're actually been adding seats to their temporary stadium. So, you know, when you add seats to a temporary stadium, good things are happening. Usual suspects, Ibsen, Ramirez, Mendez. So, and they had a friendly, too, this week against... Yeah. Did they win that? Against Leon from Liga MX?
I don't think they won. I'm not sure, but I don't think they won.
And Ibarra played half the game with Minnesota and the other half.
Oh, really?
Yeah, isn't that weird? I guess it's a tradition.
Did he used to play for Leon?
No, he plays for Leon now. He got transferred. You haven't been on the podcast.
No, I haven't. My goodness.
No, I mean, that would have been part of the transfer agreement. Then they would play that game. Yeah. You know, it's a free game for them, more concessions. I think they sold out.
Wow.
Weird.
Yeah. It's good for them.
Yeah, we've seen the same thing with Roma coming to play Toronto, part of the transfer agreement.
Yeah.
So coming up this Saturday, so we play Wednesday, and we're the big game on TV, national television.
That's right.
And as of today, there was football lines, apparently, at Lansdowne. And apparently they'll be off before Wednesday. So they
better be.
So they put them on for practice, apparently?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I remember last year, it was last year when we played Atlanta on a Wednesday. The Red Blacks played on Friday, which they do this week.
Yeah.
And we had lines because they said they couldn't put them on. They can put them on. They can take them off faster than they can put them on.
Right, because that's the dry.
So I don't know. If they say they're not going to be there, then they're not, but...
But they were on as of this morning.
But when do the Red Blacks play on Friday?
Friday, yeah.
Oh.
So we.
I think if they're on, they're on for.
Yeah, it seems weird they put them on for a practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see how that works out. And so this Saturday, after we play, Indy 11's traveling to New York, so they don't get beat by the Cosmos.
Oh, you never know.
You never know. New York lost to Jacksonville. Yeah. Tampa Bay Rowdies are hosting Fort Lauderdale, a little local derby there for them. And San Antonio's hosting Minnesota United. I'm picking Minnesota in that one. We should do a pool or something for the podcast.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm not in enough pools already. And then this Sunday, Fury's back in action. We're playing Carolina here at home. And FC Edmonton hosts Atlanta. So.
Yeah, it's the Edmonton game. They're back at Clark Stadium in between their two forays into Fort McMurray.
Yeah, and then we're playing in Fort McMurray the next week.
Why? Okay, why is that happening? Again, I haven't been on the podcast.
We don't know either, but we guessed it was the Fort McMurray Tourism Board paid.
Yeah, the first game didn't work out too well. A little over 1,000 people at the game.
Fort McMurray has a stadium?
Yeah, like, they have a stadium. They've been playing, and they play CFL exhibition games there as well.
Oh.
Yeah, so... I've been doing that. So, and speaking of stadiums, with some news out of Minnesota, City of St. Paul.
And Miami,
yeah.
St. Paul apparently is now in the running to get the stadium for the new Minnesota MLS side.
Yeah, I saw some mock-ups of the stadium. 24,000 seat, that's all good. Stadium looks like, you know, proper stadium. Parking lots on either side of the stadium. Like, so it takes up a whole bunch of land. Right in the middle of St. Paul. So it's kind of ugly in that respect, but maybe, like, we don't have a parking lot, and I don't know if you know anything about the Ottawa Stadium, but it's definitely a urban stadium with a one-lane street in front of it, and I don't know. The majority of fans get there by bus or on foot or bicycle, so.
Yeah, my buddy Mark drove me to this game, and we parked far away. There wasn't even that many people there. There's not a lot of parking around there at all.
Yeah, I don't mind it because I get in and out pretty quick. But I took the bus back home for the first time, and yeah, got on the wrong bus. Ended up in rural Quebec.
Oh.
Yeah, like 10 o'clock at night. Yeah. Yeah. So another stadium news: Beckham got a stadium for MLS.
So it's gonna be right next to Marlins Park.
So no one's gonna go there either.
That ugly piece of crap. We'll see
how this affects Miami FC, who don't have a home yet. They're going to play, they're talking about playing at University of Florida. So we'll see what happens. Do you think NASL is just hedging its bets? Like saying, oh, Beckham's group won't get it together, let's throw a team in Miami?
I don't know. I mean, it's the ownership, the Miami ownership is seems pretty solid. That's a lot of money to spend just to hedge.
Yeah, that's true. But he's also a big guy. He's big into television rights mm-hmm. and sporting rights for different soccer teams. So
I mean, will it be as big as MLS team? No, but it doesn't have to be. I mean, you can get 5,000 people there.
Yeah, I kind of have this feeling that the MLS teams will actually help the other teams too. Like, I think you could put a team in the Boston area, in the Chicago area. Mm-hmm. I think Atlanta, if you have one in North Atlanta and you have one downtown, I think it can work, but we'll see.
I mean, the trouble that the Beckham group has gotten, even just to get this stadium, has been a quote-unquote clusterfuck. I mean, what else is going to happen between now and building a team and getting a team settled? And like, you know, hundreds and thousands of things could go wrong.
Yeah, and there was a really revealing story from Howler. Look up Beckham Miami Howler. And interesting how they had, like, no progress at all. It sounds like the MLS stepped in, and they really pushed it through mm-hmm. and got the deal done. So, and the last stadium, same area, just down the road, Fort Lauderdale. So they're building some sort of crazy water park, and their stadium's going to be, like, yeah, road trip, yes.
Oh, my God, we have to go.
Yeah, we can do that. And so there's going to be, like, and they said they're going to try to do it all at once so it doesn't affect the stadium and stuff. But it's good news for the Strikers. There's some investment. And
like, is there going to be, like, a water slide, like, going in through the stadium? And, like, you can, like, pass through, like, the box or whatever. And, like, you could call it, like, the corner water slide.
Well, it all started with the bouncy castles. And that, this is just, like, taking the bouncy castle to the next level.
I want
to
design this water park.
Yeah, no. But
you know, when I read this on the schedule, I'm like, that's stupid. But then I thought back to Sunday, and I'm like, they would have made millions on Sunday.
That's true. You could, like, watch, like, over the stadium from the top of your water slide. Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. So let's go through the table really quick. Tim, what's the falls table looking like?
So we have, surprisingly, the Cosmos. They got a couple games in hand. Our last, with only 1 point. We got Jacksonville, Tampa, Fort Lauderdale, Florida Contingent kind of sitting back. San Antonio's in seventh, Indy's sixth. Atlanta, surprisingly, in fifth. Up with Minnesota. That's fourth. Third is Carolina, playing on Sunday. Second is us, the Fury, at 7 points. 3 games played, and first is FC Edmonton with 8 points with an extra game. So
Canadian teams are taking over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
1 and 2.
Still early, though. Like, how many games are left in the season? Another 10 or so?
Oh, wait.
Or four in?
A lot more. We're four. We're three in, so 17 games.
Yeah, okay. I'm not going to get excited until October. Like,
but for this moment...
We're not even halfway through the season.
But for this moment, the two Canadian teams are 1 and 2 in the NASL.
Well, yeah, but...
That's pretty good.
Combined table is what really matters, unless we win the fall season.
It's significant, really. Damn it.
Yeah.
So combined, Tampa's at top, 22 points, 13 played. Followed by the Cosmos, 21 points, 12 played. Then Carolina, Minnesota, then us at 18 points. So 3 points on Wednesday will put us up to 21, and we'll be tied for second. 3 teams between Cosmos, us, and Carolina, who we then play on Sunday.
Well, every game matters. We said that. Well, we say that all the time. So, and it's true. Like this game against Atlanta is huge. Like, Atlanta doesn't seem like, oh, it's just Atlanta. But these are the games we got to get points in, so.
It's the proverbial trap game for us, the game we should win, but.
Yeah, it's the one that we'll look back on, and it's like, mm-hmm. it either happened that game or it didn't happen.
Yeah, so Atlanta comes in Wednesday, 7 o'clock, TD Place. Buy your tickets, steal your tickets, here. Sneak in if you want, I don't care.
Yeah. I saw some people sitting on the hill over the fence.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that works. Sure. It's better inside the stadium. Who should we watch out for in Atlanta?
Well, Kosuke Kimura, former Red Bull player, comes to mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Won an MLS Cup with Colorado, with now silverback coach, Gary Smith, of course.
He seems to be rebuilding his old team, and I mentioned that earlier.
It's very Mark Jastasovich.
Yeah, he has the connections, brings him in.
It's good. I mean, yeah. It's like kind of that when we were talking about when the Fury first started, when we started this podcast way back when, is there's that like built-in chemistry between players.
Yeah, and the coach. And I think the keeper's from the Rapids as well. And I don't know. Anything can happen in this league. So I wouldn't take Atlanta lightly. This game's going to be broadcast national television on One World Sports in the States.
ESPN3.
And ESPN3 online. And maybe TSN Go. Yep. Maybe. And Rogers TV. They're just really getting their act together as far as television.
We have a lot of options. Well, we don't. But
we don't. Everyone in Americans America. Do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, last in April, the second game of the season, we tied them 1-1 in Atlanta. So they're not going to be pushovers.
No, and it's,
I don't think we have the team to go in and expect a win just yet. I don't think we should expect wins.
Yet. We should expect not to let many goals by us.
Mm-hmm.
Remember losing those two games 3-1 to FC Edmonton earlier in the season. That's unimaginable right now.
Mm-hmm. Completely different team.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Atlanta's lost. They've won one in their last 10 games in ASL matches. Dead last in the league. I said last week, if you wanted to handpick a game for a Wednesday midweek game, it'd be them.
And I'm looking forward to a night game. And
yes.
Did they change some of the games in the fall season,
yes,
the night games?
Did. Got an email from the Fury to season ticket holders saying a bunch of stuff and then kind of at the end of it, like the small print.
Footnote.
Like two games in August between Tampa and Minnesota, I believe.
Night games.
I've been changed from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m.
That's great. I love the night games. I know a lot of people like the day games, but with this heat and everything, and
yeah, I think I hate day games more than I like night games.
Yeah, it's just the energy level seems higher for night games, and people are more up for it. So, and Sunday we have the Railhawks. Actually, we just should call them like Nacho Novo.
Yep.
Novo Nacho.
Yeah. Passes to himself, scores.
To himself, scores.
Probably plays goalie. Who knows?
And the Shipolani,
yeah.
As if he's an afterthought now. He used to be the top scorer in the league, like the guy everyone was talking about, and now he's second fiddle to Nacho Novo.
Apparently, though, there are a lot of Rangers fans from the days when he played for Rangers that are going to come in full-out Rangers gear just to see him play. This I've heard from another Rangers fan and friend of the podcast, Stuart.
Well, cool.
So, watch for that.
For legal reasons, I won't say much. That's good. Yeah, so Atlanta's on a roll. So it's that's the team that's probably be more difficult, but it's just one game at a time. I'd like to see Oliver get back in by then, too.
Yeah, I was going to say this when we were doing the review of the game, but that guy just plays. Like, I couldn't believe it. A, I couldn't believe he played. B, without a mask, as they said this week. And then, 5 minutes in, he's doing bicycle kicks?
Yeah, but he's been through it all. Like, nothing, he's indestructible now. Like, if he hasn't, nothing's killed him yet, he's invincible, obviously.
Yeah, it'd be great to see Oliver play and start and continually start and get back into form as he was last year.
I'm just, what's going to happen next, you know? Right? Like, I think maybe like something will fall out of the sky and crash into his house.
Chance.
I'm sorry. We shouldn't joke. And Oliver's, he's a trooper and probably a fan favorite up there. Richie Ryan really did his work this week to become even more of a fan favorite himself. So
yeah,
they're also likable. Have you ever known such a likable soccer team?
No.
No, not really.
No. And of course, we're totally partisan, but.
But no, it's true. Like Oliver works hard, and he doesn't really let too much face him. He's just kind of like, yeah, that's what happens. And I mean, I don't know if I would be so forgiving in those situations, but you know.
Yeah. So Carolina, we lost to them. It was a season opener. Completely different team, the Fury. Carolina's kind of one of the consistent home and away teams, is that they win at home, lose, tie on the road, but they're just one of those strong home teams. If you can get them away, then try to get points off of them.
We had that big 4-1 win last year.
4-0
win. 4-0, that's right. Yeah, so that game's 3 p.m. TD Place in Ottawa.
Bring a hat.
Sunday. Yeah, bring a hat. Bring some suntan lotion.
Yeah, which I never do, which I always regret the next day.
Oh.
And, yeah, you get tickets from Stony Monday Riot or Bytown Boys, $10 each. If you've never been to supporter section and you're not sure, try it. Honestly, when I first started, I was in a supporter section, and I went there once, and I have not gone back in it. Or I have not left the supporter section. I've stayed there. And it's great.
It's always a good time. We had lots of fun. Lots of great people. And it's the way to watch football. Standing, singing, being rowdy.
Yeah, and like Dogsmith said, like if you're not sure, just come and stand for a while. It's standing only, so we don't care about where your ticket is. And just hang out with us and, you know, have a good time.
Right, so we're going to ask our question for next week. And we don't have one prepared. Does anyone have one off the top of their head? No? Okay. I'm going to go with, is the Ottawa Fury the most likable team in Canada? And I'm not even going to take it outside of soccer. And say, yeah.
Like including NHL and CFL and MLS. Everything?
Yeah, everything.
Everything.
Are we the most likable team in Canada?
In Canada.
Yes, no, why not?
Oh.
So that's it for this week. John will be back from Nova Scotia.
Yep.
Dressed, I don't know how people in Nova Scotia dress.
He'll probably just be dressed
stranger.
The same.
Stranger.
Not that anyone
actually,
knows how
half,
he dresses.
Half the Stony Monday Riot was in Nova Scotia this week. So I'd like to say hi to Andrew. I think Baggy was somewhere too. And yeah. And everyone's going to be back for the weekend. So thanks for listening. My name's Ryan.
Tim.
I'm Kendra.
Toodles.
What?
Michael Maverick.
Oh, so
and the all-dead substitutes. The Walking Dead.